Welcome to Your Adventure Podcast, a motivational podcast without the screaming. A hosted, unedited conversation with guests from all walks of life, sharing their own personal journey, showing that everyone has different outlooks on life, choice of career, and that success looks different for everyone. Get ready to be inspired and be enlightened of how we all have similar journeys and thoughts. Anything is possible. This is Your Adventure Podcast, and this is Dustin Emery.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Your Adventure Podcast. This is your host, as always, Dustin Emery. And today I got one of the OGs in the house from a very long time ago, Brian Sanchez. He is a student at the Arizona State University. He's a breathwork coach, a lead for retail, and he also is majoring in biochemistry. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a long time, dude.
I know.
Like I said, I think like 8 years probably.
Yeah.
If not 10. But 10, yeah. I feel like dates us really old.
Yeah. I was 18 when I started at Panda.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you're probably 18? Met you when I was 20. Yeah.
I think most of us were probably that age. We had a weird restaurant.
Yeah.
Because no one was really old. Like Everyone was young and like in their party like years.
Always coming to work, hungover, or
yeah.
Chilling with some beers right after work.
Or drinking as you work. I know the cooks did that. I did for sure. So
okay, I did not.
Yeah, we did. You know how they like, I don't know why they ever made that switch, but you know how they went from like the clear plastic cups for us, then they went to like I think the all black, all red. So you couldn't see like what was in it. Yeah, we used to put beer in it and then just drink it throughout the shift. I was surprised you never knew. We never told you.
Yeah, I didn't know that. It's funny. I mean, shit, that job was kind of difficult sometimes, so I can see why.
Yeah, it had its problems.
Especially Cabazon. That was intense.
I heard that one's gone now.
Yeah.
We worked in the mall.
Okay.
I heard it's gone.
I was wondering if that place was still there. I guess it's not.
I heard it's gone. Last time I heard about it was from Julian, actually. He said it was gone now. I was like, oh, wow.
Damn. Yeah, they opened up the new drive-thru one and then the Morongo one, so I guess why would they need three?
Yeah. Freaking crazy though, man. Good years.
Yeah. Really good times.
So we're both 31 now, huh?
Yeah.
Damn.
31.
Yeah. How'd you feel when you turned like 30?
30?
Did it feel different or no?
I did not feel different.
No.
I still felt like I was 27, 25. Like I didn't feel 30.
Yeah.
Like it's weird. Like even till today I forget I'm 30. When people ask my age, 27 comes up.
Right. So you don't even look 31 either, so it's like, all right, like, I know for me, like, when I turned 30, I was like, like, it feels pretty much the same, like, it's just a new number.
Yeah.
I think after 25, I really, like, didn't even pay attention to the numbers anymore.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, whatever.
The only thing that I can say that I probably did feel is probably recovering from a night out. It takes longer.
True.
That's when I was like,
the recovery takes less and it takes less to get me there. Like, you know what I mean? Mm. Like it's less drinks now, which at the end of the day, it's nice because I save money.
Yeah.
It doesn't take as many drinks to get me like drunk. So it's like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Whew. All right. Well, we'll like take a little detour from all the drunk talk, but
okay.
All right. So we kind of talked about this, but you know, obviously, you're getting a bachelor's of science in biochemistry. So, somehow this has come back around now at your age, right? So, is this something that you always thought about, like when you were a kid, like that first, you know, dream? Because we always have one. Like when
I
were
was
kid.
A kid. Yeah. Sorry. When I was a kid, I loved science and I wanted to be a scientist. I wanted to be a doctor. And I totally forgot about that as I just grew older. My mind just, obviously, I feel like I just wanted to enjoy other things and totally forgot about that dream, that aspiration that I had. Mm. And I think when the pandemic happened, that's when I just started to question my entire reality. Like, what am I? Like, I don't even know who I am anymore. Like, I'm stuck at a job now that I kind of hate.
Mm.
Like, it was just a lot of emotions being, like, felt that I guess I probably was not paying attention to. So when I started to, like, heal. I started to remember a lot of things of my childhood, and I was like, I wanted to do this, I wanted to do that. And then when I made the choice to go back to school, I was like thinking of nursing, and then I was like, no, maybe let's go something higher. Go for biochemistry.
So for like people listening, like what's biochemistry exactly? Like I know it's like a cellular level, right? I think I said that correct, but yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically understanding, I guess the way that I'm kind of seeing it is that everything is energy, and kind of mixing a little bit of biology and chemistry together and how those two work together. I'm taking a couple of classes already, so I'm still like learning the ropes. Biology, anatomy, and chemistry. Chemistry is a lot more difficult because it's a lot more arithmetic. Yeah, but it's understanding, like right now the chemistry that I'm taking, it's focusing more on like metals and construction and things that I have no knowledge of. And to be honest, I don't really remember it most of the time. It's a lot of information. Like the beginning, we were touching a lot of anatomy. So like the body is chemistry and like the elements, your stomach, how it builds acid and just stuff like that. So it's like a mix. It's a lot. And people, I guess, I mean, I did not know that it was pre-med. Like that's the degree that people go for to become a doctor.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I didn't even know that. So, and
is that something you maybe think about or no? Like the doctor route?
I think I just want to get my bachelor's right now, and then I'll decide once I like get to that finish line, and then think about where I want to go after that. And then when I googled, because when I googled the jobs, I can work at a lab as a chemist, and I think that's what I want to do, be more behind the scenes than like deal with actual patients.
Okay,
like how can I help?
So you want to do like the research part of it? Okay. Yeah. Is there anything like in particular maybe that like you're drawn to, like in the research field? Or I guess you know, because you always see people who are like, oh well, or you hear about it, they're like, oh, I had like family members that like were affected by cancer, so then they go like research cancer for like the next, you know, 20 years or something.
I think that's what I want to do. I think after taking care of my grandma made me question like a lot of our illnesses, like it's not normal to me. Like why did she get dementia, or like why did my great uncle get a brain tumor? It's like I just think none of that is normal. So it's like, how can we like gather more insight, more information? And I'm pretty sure people are doing it now, and I would really want to just jump on that train and help find a solution.
Would you say COVID kind of like you said, and like the point of people are now jumping on that train, you think COVID kind of like change people's perspective on health? Because I feel like we're more, or somewhat, I feel like we're trying to get healthier, but there's still obviously like that little gap in between. But I don't know.
Yes, I think it's like we finally had a chance to stop and stop working. And I was like on this roll, which is work gym traveling. Like I had all these like I was always doing something, so not being able to do anything, just kind of sitting in your room with your own thoughts, like I think it's just all these questions started to come. And I don't know, it's just, I think that pause that we had really had us question our reality for a lot of us.
What did you do like during COVID? Like besides, I guess, like question your own thoughts?
I was drinking a lot. Like it became into an issue, like to the point that I was like, okay, I needed to stop, but I didn't know how to stop. And then when I stopped, I was so depressed, and I was like, why am I depressed? I don't know why. And it's just, I feel like being numb, I guess, to like always working, always being like on top of something, I kind of forgot that I'm a sensitive person and I probably have all these emotions. And because I had that chance to stop, I had a chance to feel it, but it was too much to feel. Like I think I was 27 when the pandemic happened.
Yeah, if we're the same age, then
yeah, because I remember I had turned like 27 in February, and then a month later the world shut down. So what was the question again? I forgot.
Just like, what were you, I mean, you said drinking, so like, what were you doing like during COVID besides like thoughts and I guess the drinking part, you know?
Drinking and partying, and I mean, I wasn't doing anything. I was just home most of the time.
Yeah.
And then work just a couple of hours and then back home. And then this is when I started drinking on the job as well. So bad. And I think I did that for like a year. Drinking, and I don't remember anything, to be honest, because of how intoxicated I was.
I mean, you're not wrong. Like I really don't remember much 2020, because it just feels kind of like the same it feels like the same book like every day because he kind of just didn't do anything. He stayed at home. Yeah. If you did work, if you were an individual that did work, like it was maybe really short, or like you were only like one of like five people in like this giant space of working, because they're like, oh, like we can only accommodate like five people because the social distancing thing.
Yeah, it was. It was challenging. Weird. I think it was also stressful because they were trying to open everything back up, mm-hmm. and then it just added so much stress. And managing a restaurant was like, we had all these policies, and it was just kind of frustrating. Like we didn't have any of that. Mm-hmm. And before, also, like I feel like I was making way more money when we had the international people come in, like because mm-hmm. they would leave extra tips. And now we didn't have that, like those people come in, so my money just wasn't the same anymore. And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like I hate it. Mm-hmm. It's not the place I want to be at. So. Yeah, and I think I like after that, that's when I started to like, okay, I probably need to go back to school, but I was like, I don't know where to start. And then when I started taking like just math and English just to like practice, I was stressed out. Like I was scared to ask questions, and I was like, why am I scared? Mm. And am I going off track?
No, you're good, man. Okay. I got you. I can reel us in if we have to. Yeah. You're good. No worries.
And yeah, and then I think this is when I was like, I need to go back to school, but I was struggling to ask questions and speak up. And then this is when I just started, okay, like what am I holding on to? And I remember on Instagram, I like came across this page, breathwork.
Okay.
And then this is where it said that our body doesn't remember the stress. Sorry, our mind does not remember the stress, but the body does. Mm. And so I was like, well, what am I exactly, like, what am I holding on to? Like, I don't know, like, I'm fine. Like, I feel happy, but maybe I was just lying to myself. I was not happy. I was angry and depressed.
I feel like that's probably a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like we just kind of go through the day lying to ourselves that we're really happy. So yeah. It's, you're not off track. I think.
And again, it's just with the pandemic, it's like not working and stopping. It's like, it gave me time to like ponder all these questions. But then I think the part that scared me was feeling my emotions. Like I was just so used to like being numb or like not crying. And I think when I came across that somatic release breathwork page, that's where I was like, I saw this guy crying and screaming, and I started crying, and I was like, why is this making me cry? Like, I was like, I don't like it. And then I started like gathering more information. What is meditation? What is breathwork? What does that have to do with your body? What is trauma? Mm. And I think the biggest question I kind of asked myself, why am I like this? And the universe had a way of showing me by putting me in like these difficult situations, and it stemmed from my childhood. Mm. And this is where I was like, ugh,
like, so you think you released like years of maybe like stress and just like trauma?
Yeah. A lot.
You think it's like, I mean, I've never done like breath work, but we'll talk about it. But you know, like in that moment, were you scared?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's super scary. And I think this is where as well, I kind of fell in love with chemistry, because your body is this molecular being full of cells, full of energy, full of memory, full of stories that are not even yours. So this is somewhere where I kind of wanted to like dive deeper, like what is the chemistry of the body, what is the biology of the body, and what are we connected to, what does all that mean. This is where kind of I also got like more into like, I want to get a degree in this, I want to understand the body on a molecular level, and how we can help move energy and heal, because we can't destroy it. And that's something that I learned in chemistry. Energy cannot be destroyed. It can only be moved. Like, you can break a bond, but, like, you make a bond. So it's like we're kind of breaking and making. In other words, like, we're kind of living and dying simultaneously, if that makes sense.
I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
So I guess one way that I kind of understanding chemistry and biology was comparing it to spirituality. Mm. And it was kind of, like, mind-blown that at the end it's like, emotions or energy, we're just meant to face that. But again, not being able to feel that came from like my childhood, like, you know, growing up in this Latino household, it's like you cannot cry, you gotta just suck it up, like stop crying. And I was never given the space to cry. So I think after like years of like suppression, when the pandemic happened, stopping everything, my whole routine, I was like, damn,
this all came out.
Yeah.
It's like a reset. Well, I guess, you know, we can talk a little bit about that, like, before we get into, like, more of the breath work and, like, kind of your journey. Like, you talked about, like, your childhood. and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, I was doing my research a little bit on your Instagram page. So, like, so you're from El Salvador, right? Or, like, your family originally?
My dad is. Okay. My dad is from El Salvador.
But you didn't grow up there, right?
No.
Okay. Okay. So you grew up out here. So like, so you talked about like not crying. And I do remember like older, not my dad, but I do remember like my older uncles and like grandpas, like they kind of had the same mindset. Like, ah, you don't cry. Right.
No.
And then, you think that was hard, like growing up with that mentality? And then also, I don't know when you came out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But those two compared together, or not compared together, I'm sorry. Those two combined together, was that really hard? Like, was that like a really hard childhood?
Yes.
Like, is that the hardest part, I guess, of your life journey so far?
Yeah. I think, yes, that played a huge role. Like, I guess I'm really sensitive. In other words, I guess I have, like, this really strong feminine energy that my dad would, like, just bully me and, like, say, like, oh, he's going to grow up to be a, excuse my language, he's going to grow up to be a faggot.
Yeah.
Or, and, like, not just that, but, like, in school as well, the boys used to, like, grab me and throw me into the girls' restroom and call me a sissy boy.
Mm.
Just because my voice wasn't fully, like, developed and I had, like, a girl voice.
Yeah.
So I think all of that like affected me, and not having that like emotional support from like my dad. My mom did. My mom was also kind of like abusive, like in her own way, but she was also very supportive. So I think that really affected like my mental health a lot, because now I've created this ego to protect me and this ego who was never me. And
so like another personality in a way. Okay.
Yeah.
You think there was anything you could like share that maybe like other people are going, like kids, I guess, at your age at that point, like who are probably going through the same thing now? Like, I don't know, what would be like, I guess, your advice for them?
My advice for
if
them,
you had it,
first breathe.
Okay.
First inhale through your nose and just remember like your power, and remember that you are here to just be yourself. And I know it's scary in a world where we're all wearing masks, but it's every chance that you get, just shut yourself in your room and kind of, I guess for me, it's just breathe in and remember that you are love, and remember that it's okay to be yourself. That the people, that the world will bring you the people that are going to support you.
Yeah. I do agree with that for sure. It's kind of funny. Like when we're younger, especially like even for myself, like, you don't really think about that, like about the people around you in a way. You kind of just numb to it. I don't know. But like, what, as you get older, or at least as I've gotten older, like there are people that come into my life or I don't expect it, but it's kind of like what I needed. So it was weird, you know? And I think when I was younger, when we were younger, like I definitely didn't recognize that. Like when it happened,
yeah.
You know, I don't recognize it now. And looking back, I'm like, oh, that person was there for like a good reason. I'm like, oh shit. But in the moment, I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess besides, the breath work, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess let's talk a little bit about kind of where you're at and maybe like where you want to be. 'Cause obviously with biochemistry, breath work, like you still got the 9 to 5.
Yeah.
So you're just like everybody else.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we got to work, to pay the bills, pay for school, et cetera. But obviously, like, so the Agua Caliente Culture Museum, I can say that, right?
Yes,
I'm not
correct.
Trying to get you in trouble, but like,
yeah.
So like, what, I don't even know what goes on at this museum, dude.
So
like,
I love this museum.
Yeah.
So also when I was started at ASU, I took a few culture classes and I was just mind blown with the Native American history. And it didn't feel new to me. It felt like it was my people. And so when this opportunity came up, I got an email from Indeed saying apply at the Agua Caliente Culture Museum, and I was like, ooh, a museum for the Indians. I want to be there. So I took it. And so this museum tells the story of the Agua Caliente Band of Cahuilla Indians.
Okay.
And it shows their story through 5 permanent exhibits from time immemorial to present day. So it kind of shares the story of like their culture, who they are, where they came from, what happened during like colonization, and then how they adapted to this new world and where they're at today. And it's my favorite place to be at. Like, even though it's just like any other corporate job, I try to focus on like the story, because I'm also part Indian from like my dad's side. So like,
I was gonna ask you that.
Yeah. So, like, also, like, it made me question, like, okay, who am I? Like, there's more to me. Like, there's more to my story. And so, with the little bit that I shared with my dad, he did share that we are Indian and we come from a tribe called Lenca. Lenca means that we are the Jaguar people.
The Jaguar
people? Jaguar, yeah.
Jaguar, yeah. Jaguar, okay.
And so, I feel like working in that museum kind of made me, like, remember who I was and like where I come from, and to always remember my roots. And that's why I love it. And I think definitely like going back to school helped me learn a little bit more of that history. So I'm kind of happy that I work at that museum sharing a story of, you know, this group that has been marginalized for years, and now they're getting their story told from their perspective.
So you, like, are you the person who's, I guess, guiding like this, I guess you could say, like the story tour, or like the
So what I do is that I work at the retail store and the welcome desk.
Okay.
And so the welcome desk is just kind of gives people the introduction of like, you're here for the Agua Caliente Culture Museum, and then giving them the whole spiel. And the retail store advocates for indigenous or Native American artists, writers, and vendors.
Okay.
So that was a lot of research there too, learning about every artist and how they put jewelry together, and learning about more like cultures outside of California.
Okay.
So
how long have you been there so far, like since you've been in school, I'm assuming?
So this job, well, the museum opened in November, so it's a brand new museum.
This past November?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Brand new.
It's a brand new museum. So, So I helped open it up.
Huh.
And that was fun. So I started there in September, just learning, researching about the Agua Caliente and about more like Native American history, and it's just, I fell in love with it.
Okay. All right.
So if you want to learn more about the tribe, definitely go check it out. It's a really cool place.
And it's out past Desert Hot Springs, right?
It's in Palm Springs. Palm in downtown Springs. Palm Springs.
Right. Okay. I always forget. I mean, and those towns are always the same, I feel like.
Yeah.
The names all, like, combine. So this was, like, a question I had about, because, you know, you're talking about the Indians, and so... Is that how you got into your breathwork coaching? Only because I feel like Indian cultures, they always have had, like, I don't want to say, what's the word? I guess, like, I feel like rituals, right? And just, like certain things that they do, right? To, I guess, connect with earth in, like, spiritual sense. I feel like breathwork, I feel like if they did that, they would have done it.
I can see that. But to be honest, I don't really know. I mean, I got into breathwork just because of Instagram was the one that introduced me to it. So I don't think it had to do anything with, like,
with your work.
With my work, yeah.
You ever find anything, though, that connect, like, is, what's the word, like, synonymous?
Yes.
With it?
Yeah.
You ever find anything?
Because it's, like, breathwork, it's, like, a journey within yourself. And one thing that I, like, learned in one of my classes is, like, how spiritual they are and how connected they are to earth, to themselves. Because, like, you know, we are the rocks, we are the land, we are the water, and how we're just similar to all of that. And I don't know. Did I answer that? I don't even know if I answered it.
Kind of. Yeah, you're good. You're good. Yeah, I was just trying to connect, like, the two, because I feel like they would have... I feel like if they did breath work, or if they knew about it, I feel like they would have done it. I don't know. Well, I guess let's talk about, like, your breath work. Like, you know, I know you talked about, like, a little bit of your childhood and, like, the trauma. And then, obviously, now that you're doing breath work, like, you've kind of, like, released a lot of that stuff. So, like, how does one get into breath work? Let's start there. Yeah, let's start there. Like, I know you said you found it on Instagram, so I'm sure, like, anybody can do that as well. But, you know, I guess what was your first, besides being, like, scared, like you talked about before, and, like, the trauma from childhood, like, how was your, I guess, your first session, if you want to call it a session? Okay. Yeah. Let's start there, I guess.
Okay. For me, it started off with a book. It was called Making Your Life a Spiritual Adventure by Elizabeth Lesser. And so she goes over breathwork meditation, and she has, like, these, this guideline on, like, different type of breathworks. So just inhaling through your nose and then doing breath holds to, like, help keep that energy in your body, but also, like, letting it go. And then also identifying how you're feeling. And for me, it was a lot of emotions. And then in the book, she said, so if you're feeling sad or if you're feeling stressed, name it. Because sometimes the thoughts would not stop. And so just name what the thoughts are. So I was like, so okay. My thoughts right now are feeling stressful. And so she's like, and come back to your breath. And so I kind of just try to keep that practice going. It was really cumbersome at first, but later it just became easier. And then when I did like my first somatic breathwork session, like 6-7 months later, that was intense.
Because wow, so you did almost like a whole year later after the book. Wow, okay.
And that was intense because it was with a group of people. It was about 40 of us, and everyone's there for the same thing. We're all just there to confront our egos and try to heal and let go. And it was really, really uncomfortable. Like, everyone is screaming, everyone is crying, and I shut down. Like, this is, I guess,
It was too vulnerable, maybe? Yeah. Okay.
It's like, I got comfortable with my own emotions, but now I have to get comfortable with somebody else's emotions. And this is... But we're just using the breath, feeling it and letting it go. Mm-hmm. And after those 4 days, I felt different.
Like, this was a four-day session?
Wow. 4 day. It was a 4 day retreat of just breathing.
Really?
Breathing, screaming, and crying, and sharing stories. And it was just a very powerful movement. Mm. Like, because, I mean, yes, getting comfortable with my emotions was one thing, but getting comfortable with other people's emotions was just stop crying because you're making me cry.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's kind of like you didn't want to, I mean, maybe you didn't want to, but like you don't want to, like, I guess, shoulder their emotions on you now, which, you know, some people, it's hard for them to do that, or they don't want to do that. Like,
But this is the path that I wanted to take because, like one of the essays that I wrote last year for English, I remember the question was, what's something wrong you see in the community and how can you do part to like help bring a solution to that? So my essay was mental health. I was like, I feel like in a way we all have a mask. How can we like help heal and help move energy that's stuck in our body using something? And for me, it was the breath. And so that's why I like this somatic breath work, because I'm creating a space for my client to be comfortable with their emotions, to feel, to cry, scream if you have to. And I developed the capacity because of that training. Mm-hmm. So if you were the practitioner, we were the client, we were screaming sometimes just for like a whole 10 minutes. And I remember my body was shaking. Mm-hmm. But coming back, I felt free. Like, it's like, why was I holding on to this for so many years? Like, and years of therapy was done in like 4 days. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I felt different in my voice. I felt more free to express. And it's just, I remember like when they asked me like how this helped, it's like before, when I used to ask myself, what do I want to do? Fear would come up, but now I can ask myself, and I just want to be love. I want to be supportive. I want to be like a teacher or like a guidance and research. I want to keep learning more. I'm just such a nerd when it comes to like reading things that I don't know about.
Okay. So how'd you go from, I guess, being, I guess you could say, a client, right, to now, like, you're teaching people, or you're holding, like, your own sessions with others? Like, how'd you go from that to that?
So in the practitioner training, they also did, like, a training for us to be able to hold space. So they kind of gave us, like, a little booklet for us to, like, be able to hold it, and I, like, for us to just be able to be there for them. Because it's like a mirror. So we want to mirror what they're going through. And so that's how we practice. And then after the training, I went ahead and practiced with friends, family that allowed me to hold space for them. And that's how I just got into it. At first, it was kind of like challenging because I wasn't like ready to like hear very personal, deep stories. Mm. And then this is when I had to do my knowledge on trauma, like what is trauma. So I started reading The Body Keeps the Score, the holotropic mind, and kind of understanding more what trauma is and how we can like move it using like these modalities. Okay. But most importantly, getting comfortable with stories that kind of just had me like shook, because I was like, well, I was not like ready for that. And I think I needed to prepare myself, and I needed to just digest a lot of information about like these difficult stories that people don't really talk about. So that then when I'm with a client, I can be comfortable in hearing that story. Because I remember some stories people would open up, and I'm just like, oh,
yeah,
like, cool. but it's not cool. So it's like, now I can say, thank you for sharing. You're a strong person for being able to be vulnerable and just be supportive. And I think reading books on trauma really helped me kind of build that.
I guess maybe support.
Support, yeah. Or like that strength to be able to like listen to it. Because some stories I would kind of just get shocked and I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore.
It kind of just makes people think like, excuse me, like you really don't know what someone's going through. Mm-hmm. Like you can see, I think the biggest mask that we put on in today's society is social media. You see like 1% of that person's life, probably, right? Or like a celebrity, whatever, right? But you don't really know what they're going through. Yeah. So I kind of feel, I understand like where you kind of got shocked. You're like, oh crap. Because like this person could look maybe like really normal, like walking in to your session. But then like you hear a story like that and you're like, whoa. Yeah. Like, and you know, I'm going to say this, man. I think that's a gift that you have because I don't think everyone can do that. Like, I don't think everyone can listen to like a really like bad story, right? Or something traumatic and like have that mentality to be like, you know what? Like, you're going to be okay. Like, you know, whatever that may be, or like positive love, like towards that person.
Yeah.
Cause I think most people keep their like trauma stories in because they're afraid of being like judged.
Yeah.
And I think most people would. So like, I think when you're a person like you, I think it's a gift because I don't think everyone can handle someone else's emotions on top of like their own, like through their daily life. Cause right. You know, like, and I say that because the field I work in, you know, as a therapist, you know, I've met plenty of other individuals who do like the same job, but you can just tell that it's not really there. It's not the right space for them.
Yeah.
Like they've grown impatient or just, out of maybe context or something that it could be. I think you just have to have a certain mentality for it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's the same for you. So I think it's a gift. Like, I feel like people can do all the research they want on something, but I think really connecting with it, I feel like it's only a certain amount of people.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure you work with other people that you kind of see that too.
Yeah.
I know you had some cards on your friends, breathwork business. You want to talk about that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, because we're...
Because you're going to be working with her, correct?
Huh?
You're going to be working with her, correct, or no?
Jennifer?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I am collaborating with her. She just opened up her wellness center, Scintillating Aura Wellness Center in Hemet. And so she does...
Bring out the note cards.
Huh?
Bring out the note cards, man.
Yeah, so Jennifer is the founder and owner of Scintillating Aura Wellness Center in Hemet, California.
Mm-hmm.
She is a practitioner in ancient science of Ayurveda and yoga and indigenous Campbell medicine. So these are like holistic healing modalities that she uses to bring healing to people.
Mm-hmm.
What else can I mean, I don't... Like, I mean, I've done my research and, like, I know, like, what it is, but I can't put it into words.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, holistic healing modalities to help heal the nervous system, your emotional well-being, and boost your immunity.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the benefits for that. And so right now I'm collaborating with her. I am holding space, gathering a group session of breathwork session. So just guiding a group of people using their breath to be able to move energy within their body.
Mm-hmm.
And one way that I like to kind of help identify certain triggers is by playing the game Conversations with Your Inner Self.
If you want to share a card, you can. Yeah.
Please. So Conversations with Your Inner Self is to discover the unseen within. So what are you hiding? What are you holding on to? And I know because I've had some clients tell me, like, when I'm guiding the session, they're like, you tell me, like, what am I holding on to? And, like, I don't even know what it is that I'm holding on to. And so now to kind of, in a way, to open up the space, I'll go ahead and like answer like a question from the card game to help identify that trigger, that stressor, and have them like kind of think about it, feel it. And then we're going to use their breath, let it go. And one thing with breath work is that it's more of a working session than a talking session, because we're working through our emotions. We're moving that emotion using our breath.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
So like this one card is black. It's called the part one, identifying. And it's like, this one says avoidance. What would you try your best to avoid in life? Are there certain emotions attached to these things?
I can probably think of, I don't know if it's an emotion. It's probably emotion. It's probably anger, honestly. Like, I can think of my dad when we were kids and when, like, he left.
Yeah.
So I feel like that emotion would be anger. So that's kind of what you're looking for? Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you just go from there, like, with the breath work?
With the breath work. Or okay. If not, like, I mean, if they don't feel comfortable in sharing, it's like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're just going to use the breath, move that energy and feel it and just let it go. And
so as long as they can, like, envision it in their head, like, internalize it, even if they don't say it,
yep.
then, okay. But you at least want them to think about it.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
I want the question to be there so that they know what they need to work through.
Gotcha.
And they know, like, what they need to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half of the session is us healing, or in other words, integrating it. So we're replacing that stressor with something positive.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what's your intention? What do you want to take home with you? It's either, like, more love, more enlightenment, or courage. And so then we breathe that in.
Okay.
And then at the end of the session, we pull a part two, integrating. So, like, this one says, forgiveness. How does your shadow self affect your ability to forgive others?
How does your shadow self? What does that mean exactly? What is your shadow self?
I guess the way that I'm kind of seeing it is, like, how does, like your mask, like, your shadow, like, this, like...
Your, like, fake persona?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Self-affect your ability to forgive others.
Okay. All right. I can see that. Yeah. Okay.
Do you want to answer it or no?
How does my fake self... I guess that's what I'm going to put it in terms for myself, yeah. So I can understand it.
I'm also having trouble kind of understanding this card, too. Because no, shadow can mean, like, a lot of things.
You're okay. Yeah, well, that's what I was... That's what I had to ask you. I was like, shadow self. I was like, what exactly does that mean? So, like... what was the question again?
How does your shadow self affect your ability to forgive others? How does your ego self...
I was going to say... That's the first word that popped up. I was like, I think my ego, for some people, for sure. Like, I keep it to myself just because... There's a part of me that's like, I don't want to give them the satisfaction of, like, I guess them getting forgiven. Yeah. But it comes down to, like, who the person is for me. And that's probably not a great thing. I'm not going to lie. But I think it comes down to the person. Like, if it's a person that I'm like, nah, you know what? I don't think they deserve it.
Yeah.
I'll keep it to myself. But I think in the end that hurts me more than it hurts them. Because then they don't even know.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I would say that's probably what it is. I think the ego holding me back. Or maybe another word, I guess, for ego could be pride.
Pride.
Mm-hmm. I think pride, for sure.
You all have that.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you for sharing. I appreciate it.
I'm on the spot today, guys. Yeah. It's all right, though. Yeah. I was kind of looking forward to some stuff like that, because, like, I always like learning new things or just, like, experiencing new things like that. Especially because, like... You know, it's not like an everyday thing. So you don't really ever, like, think about stuff like that until, like, you're kind of on the spot.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then I also like to take a couple of pictures, like, a week, and then send them to my clients just so that they can have something to journal about and ponder about.
A picture of what?
Like, of the cards.
Oh, a picture of a card. Yeah. Okay.
I was like, I'm pulling out this card, maybe something to journal about.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe when we're doing our next breathwork session, this can come up and we can work through it.
Gotcha. Do you ever have clients who, like, don't ever say anything?
Like, yes.
Really? Mm-hmm. And they just, like, just they keep coming back, but they never say nothing. Really?
I had one, she's quiet. And, I mean, again, like, this session is for them. So it's like... And so I always say to bring a journal, just in case if you don't want to share it, just...
Write it down. So in some way, you still want them to get it out, even if, like, they're actually not saying something to somebody, at least journaling it.
Journaling,
I feel like, is synonymous with, like, everything. Like, it's a way to get it out, but, like, you don't have to tell anybody.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, because, like, even in, like, the therapy world, that's, like, I feel like that's a number one thing a lot of people go to. Like, all right, if you don't want to tell me, at least journal it. Yeah. Like, get it out. So it's like, weird. It's weird how, like, journaling has become, like, such a big part.
Yeah. And then I also don't want to make anybody feel, like, guilty for, like, not sharing or, like, go, like, make them feel shame. It's like, there's other ways that you can let it out. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, just us during the session. Like, journal it or do a voiceover or send yourself an email. like always try to offer like other ideas that mm-hmm. they can like express themselves.
Are these sessions like, so it kind of sounds like, especially like the ones who like aren't going to talk, or maybe like the ones that are more traumatic, are these like one-on-one sessions or like more group settings?
I've been doing more one-on-one sessions.
Like, you think you like that better?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why is that exactly? You think?
I like it because I'm really sensitive mm-hmm. and I like the one-on-one conversation. Like, it just gets a chance to like build more rapport. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of benefits with the group sessions as well, because it's not just like me and the other person, it's like a group and we're all supporting each other. Mm-hmm. But the one-on-one, it's I like to really get to know the person and how, in like ways that I can like help. Mm-hmm. And they have my phone number, they call me like anytime, well, whenever I'm off, like I will answer. But I guess I'm more of an what is it, introvert?
Yeah, introverts like more like they're more to themselves mm-hmm. and like they so they'll stay inside, like yeah. like stuff
so
like
I
that.
Think that's why I prefer like that one-on-one. It's just, I don't know, I just do.
Okay, is it so, I guess, all right, here's the next question. Mm-hmm. I guess besides breath work for yourself, because obviously you do this like daily for
yeah,
yourself
for myself, yeah.
Okay, so I guess outside of like breath work, since you are dealing with other people's like traumas and stuff, like how do you take care of yourself besides like the breath work?
Yeah,
you know, because like you don't want to like take on all their stuff and like now your life is like harder, I guess, you know.
I took a break for 4 months.
Okay.
Like I needed time for myself
mm-hmm.
and I needed time to just kind of like put myself together in a way, because my grandma had passed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that like emotion, I didn't want to accept it. I was stuck, and then like I am aware of it that I'm stuck. And I was like, okay, I cannot hold space for anybody. I need space for myself until, like, I'm ready to confront it.
Mm.
Then I'll be able to, like, hold space for others. Because how can I, like, hold space for others when I'm not holding space for myself?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, like, taking a break anytime, like, just doing nothing and doing things that I like, whether it's, like, art, because I took a lot of art classes in January. That was fun. That's like another way of another form of meditation
mm.
is doing things that can bring me like some sort of peace. And my way of like kind of taking care of myself is we have a breathwork community. So I will reach out to other practitioners for them to hold space when I need it.
Mm. Okay. Now is this, so I was looking at your Instagram, right? And is it all breathwork or is there other things that I guess enter the space? Because I've never done it myself personally, but like I saw some of your videos where it's sound bowls.
Yes.
Right. So exactly what, like for people who don't know, what exactly does a sound bowl do? Like, yeah. are you breathing while you're listening to that, or are you just listening to the sound?
So yeah, so you're listening to the sound, and I like to guide that session mm. with breathing techniques.
Okay.
And the reason why is because a lot of people's first time when they try it, it's really uncomfortable. Like, you feel the frequency traveling through your body. Like, it almost feels like someone's touching you.
Okay.
And so, like, after not, like, me, like, not doing sound healing for, like, 4 months, because of when I took that break,
mm-hmm.
and then doing it again, I felt someone, like, touching me all over, and it felt so uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just coming back to your breath. Just breathing in, and then when you're exhaling, just using your sound so that you can kind of, in a way, distract yourself from that feeling or that sensation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the bowls that I have, they're 432 hertz. So that frequency has like the ability to help heal the emotional body.
Okay.
And so it almost feels like your entire body is just vibrating. It's from what I hear from like some of my clients. I know like some other clients told me that they just felt anxious because they didn't like that feeling in their body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, just come back to your breath. I was like, but if you need me to stop, we can stop. But I guess me just guiding them with my voice brings them some sort of comfort, because they know that they're not alone. But if I'm silent and just using the sound, it can be like really uncomfortable at first. So the like the beginning of the session, I try to just guide them. And then just after, and then like during the second half, I just let the sound just do its
thing.
Yeah, do its thing.
I asked that question just because, like, I've had people who have, in my family, who've done it, and it's mixed reactions. Okay. Some people are like, wow, like, amazing, and some people are like, no, like, it's not for me, like, you know, and they kind of, it's kind of funny that you talked about like the feeling of like touching, and some of them, that's where they were like, oh, that was really nice, and some of them like, that was not nice. So it's like, okay, do you think like, you think an individual would have to do it like more than once to maybe get over that feeling?
Yeah, more than once, because so I started psychiatric medication when my grandma passed away.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to feel, I just wanted to be numb. And then once I started to like get off of it, I started taking sambo classes just to kind of help move that energy. And that was the first feeling, like just someone touching me. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
Like, I wanted to scream. But then I just passed out like during the session.
Like, oh, like you fell asleep, yeah. Not like medically passed out.
Oh, no,
just
yeah.
Like, okay. Okay,
I fell asleep. Yeah, so I fell asleep and coming back, I just felt different. Like, I just felt lighter. Like, I wasn't holding on to anything. Even though I fell asleep, I'm pretty sure like that frequency was able to move some energy like inside my body. But then afterwards, I caught myself crying a lot. But I think it's just energy that needs to move through you. And like, like, even though that's what I tell people, I have to take that like for myself. Like, it's like, because sometimes I do still struggle of not wanting to feel like, it's like, I gotta go to work or I gotta study. Like, I don't have time to cry. Like, I need to just do. But I have to remind myself to just stop, cry. So I think after that, like, sound healing session that I had, I cried, like, the next day. And I kind of just gave myself that space. I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna open up a book. I'm off work. I'm just gonna just feel and then just eat things that make me happy. Like,
I mean, at least you're aware of it, though. Because, like, I feel, I do totally understand that. Like, like being in the therapy world, like I know I got problems just like everyone else I'm helping. So it's like, and I feel like some people don't like think about that or realize that. It's like, no, you still have the same problems. Like, just cause I guess you're, I don't want to say like you're above that person, but like maybe you have like more knowledge on like dealing with it compared to like the person you're helping. It doesn't really make you like any different per se. And I don't want to like just, and not really backtrack, but like, so first off, before I like say the rest of it, like my condolences, you know, to you and your family and your grandma.
You.
Like, I know how that feels. It's not fun. But I'm interested in your approach because you talked about taking the medication right after your grandma passed to help you, right? But then you also have this side of you about the basically the breath work, and that's more of like a holistic approach. And you talked about your friend, you know, building like the immunity and like the healing powers of like breath work and like sound. But you're also in biochemistry, so like biochemistry research would focus more on like the medical side, and more they wouldn't really touch holistic very much because they'd be like, no, that's like nonsense, like we need to use medication or whatever. So how do you like balance those two exactly?
I think like when I took, I think I took a culture health class and I fell in love with the Japanese like modalities because they use both Western and holistic medicine in their field.
Okay.
So I want to just, how can I do my part and try to bring this perspective like together, or like this awareness together, and we can combine both to help heal people. Because for me, Western medicine is just putting a band-aid over the problem. It's not really healing it. It's suppressing it.
Yeah.
And even though I was doing that that psychiatric medication, it wasn't healing my emotional well-being. It was just suppressing all my emotions.
Yeah.
So after a long period of time, after feeling again, I was like, oh, here we go again. Like, now I just got to feel. So it's like, how can we, like, bring practices to, like, clients or, like, to people that are, like, in need of, like, help? Bring a mixture of both Western medicine and both holistic. Like, it's working well for Japan, why can't it work well here? And you know, it's holistic. I guess there's not enough research or not enough like knowledge when it comes to these practices because they're indigenous.
Yeah,
but how can we bring that with Western medicine and combine it together? Because I'm pretty sure if you combine those two together, you're gonna be a major.
I do agree with you. Like, I do think there's a space for them both. Like, I don't think you can say you only have to choose one. Cause like I've had doctors like throughout my lives where like their first, and I was never really into it, but like their first solution was like, take a pill.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I don't really want to, like, that's just, you know, and then there was like doctors who were like, all right, well, like you do need to take like this pill to help, but like we can also like add this, which would be more like, I guess you could say the holistic side.
Yeah.
and again, I think it comes with age. Like, as I've gotten older, I've tried to like add more of that like holistic approach, or just like supplements. Like, I don't know how holistic that is, but like supplements like every day to like help, right? Yeah. Instead of, you know, turning to just like a pill. Like, if a doctor prescribes me a pill, I usually ask like a ton of questions. Yeah. So I'm just like, I really need it? Like, am I gonna die if I don't take this pill?
Yeah.
Right. Most of the time they're like, no, you're not. You're like, but it's just gonna be like, it'll be easier with it. And yeah. I'm just like, eh. Then if that's the only reason, like, it's gonna be easier for me just to take it, like, I'd rather just not take it.
Yeah.
You know. So I do think there's a world where like two of them are using both at the same time, I think is a good thing. And it sucks that like kind of both sides of that aisle, I guess, sometimes they don't want to like talk to each other. They're like, yeah. No, like, I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You're wrong, I'm right. So it does kind of suck, but I do agree with you. I think that's smart. And it's funny too, cause like earlier when we were talking about masks, it is kind of funny how Japanese, there's always an answer. I don't want to say an answer, maybe, but there's always like a proverb or something that Japanese use that I feel like everyone uses. So when you talked about masks earlier, the first thing I thought of was this Japanese proverb where they talk about the three masks. I don't know if you've ever heard it.
No.
But so the three mask proverbs in Japanese culture is, they believe that there's that a person has three masks, right?
Mm-hmm.
As an individual. They have a mask that they show their family and friends, right? Then they have a mask that they like show the world, right? So strangers, work, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Then they have a mask that they never show anybody. Mm-hmm. So I always when people bring up like masks and like personas of like personalities, I always think of that proverb. And I honestly do agree with it. Like, I think there's parts of me that I've never showed anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but at least right now, I don't think it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
But I do think that proverb's, like, pretty real.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know if you've ever thought like that before, but...
I do. So when I took a communication class, it was talking about how we need to have different types of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Your communication at work.
Yeah.
The different communication with your peers, a different communication with your family, and a different communication with yourself. So it almost feels like four different type of masks.
Yeah.
Like how, like different ways that you need to act in all these different areas.
You know, I mean, this might sideline it a little bit, but like, I just think of it in a funny way. Just cause we both work there and you work in retail, like a little bit now. I always feel like people always talk about the customer service voice. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of when you said like the communication style. I was like, bro, like no one actually talks like that.
Yeah.
Community service voice? Like,
yeah.
No one actually talks like
that.
They just talk that way just because they have to right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought about that when you said that, but I was like, yeah. It's just kind of true.
Yeah, but that's what I thought when you said about the three masks. It's I mean, it's not like we have to, but it's just, again, I guess people bring different sides to us. So
yeah,
we just keep those.
See, that's the thing. I don't think we have to, but I think we do it without really realizing it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think about it like more until like I read that like Japanese proverb story. This was like years ago, but I was like, oh, that's weird. But I don't really think about it until I guess like I'm in the moment, like talking about it right now. But
yeah.
Like, oof. Like, man.
Isn't it crazy how like everything in a way is connected, even though it's spoken differently?
Oh yeah.
Like,
that's the thing I think nowadays is, I mean, I think ever since COVID really, like, I feel like the world has tried to, I don't know, like separate us more than ever before. But like, to your point, I think there's a lot of stuff that actually connects us, or like, even though it's another, excuse me, even though it's like another language or a culture, like, their little things like still connect with us.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. I think cause I learned that in culture that our country is an individualistic society.
Mm.
Like, it's more like about us. Like, how can I do to get to the top?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I think about like the sports in like elementary or like middle school, it's like everything is a competition with other people. And who can make it to the top, or who can be like the valiant.
The Victorian. The, yeah, 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 yeah.
And so it's like, again, everything's a competition between other people instead of like, how can we like group together and make this like beautiful thing, I guess. But instead it's like, no, this is about me and only me. So.
And I think just in general, excuse me, just like make the world like, or at least your, I guess, living area, like community or state, even if you want to put it on that spectrum, like just better, you know, because I feel like there's just so many things wrong.
Yeah.
And that it's, yeah, because that approach where we're all going like one direction by ourselves. So then you just, you kind of forget that you, I don't think this always happens, but I feel like sometimes you forget that you're like pushing people out of the way to get to where you're going. But like at the same time, if you kind of went together, it might be a little easier.
Yeah.
Or life might be better. I don't know. And I think in America, we definitely like, we fucked that up a lot. Compared to like other countries.
Yeah.
I think we fucked that up a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to ask you this. Let's see. Okay. Oh, well, I guess I have two. I'll save this one. So I did some research on breath work a little bit on my own. Mm-hmm. And I was just curious about, I guess, what you think about this, or does it actually pertain, to your field? So, I hope I don't butcher this word, but a physiotherapist, right, and a breathing coach called Emma Ferris, right? She had an article in 2022, and she works with the breath effect, right? And she says that 80% of the population has breathing dysfunctions and have developed poor breathing techniques through the years. So do you actually come across that, like, with people actually breathing, like in your classes? Like, because I always think about, oh, well, breathing normally, right? So I don't really know what's the correct way to breathe, I guess. So that's why I pulled that up.
Yeah, and it's like, it's true. Like, when I first started this, it scared me because you can tell people are holding on to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They're not breathing. And so when you breathe in, so you take a deep inhale, and so when I tell my client, take a deep inhale.
Mm. That's the deep inhale, that little one?
Yeah, and okay. I'm just like, girl, you're holding on to a lot. Mm. And, or boy, yeah. I was like, just use the breath, let it go, and they kind of go into like this state where their body starts to tremble, but it's because their body has not taken this amount of oxygen throughout the years. You've been holding on to a lot, and the thing is that when you get stressed out, you kind of go into like a state of like shock where you're kind of where you're not breathing.
Okay.
Or if not, you're inhaling through your mouth, and when you're inhaling through your mouth, you're adding stress.
Okay.
And oxygen is a free vitamin. All you got to do is just breathe in through your nose and move energy that's like within your body that's stuck. But the thing is that when you start breathing in through your nose, you start feeling your sensation changes, like your touch, your smell. Like, that's one thing that I felt different after my breathwork training, is that after breathing for like 4 or 5 days, my touch and my sensation felt so different. Like, my taste in food, I was like,
really?
Yeah, like, it was just crazy. So it feels like the more we hold on to our breath, the less we feel, the less we like can actually experience. But I get it, we live in such a stressful world where we don't really have the space for that. You know, we gotta work, or if not, we experience something so traumatic that we're just stuck. And we're holding on to our breath, we're holding on to that story, we're holding on to that energy. And this is why a lot of us have a lot of illnesses, because, again, one thing that I did learn is that a lot of bacteria or viruses cannot exist outside the body. So because you're holding on to that like bacteria, I mean, you're not breathing in that free vitamin, that free oxygen that can help boost your immunity. And it's just, I still, again, at first I would find it so crazy. I was just kind of also scared for them, because I'm like, you need to breathe. And even like when I'm hanging out with people, I can tell when they're like, and I'm like, breathe in through your nose. You're adding stress to your body. Like, I mean, like, you probably don't want to hear me, but I'm just letting you know, just simple, easy. It's just, and it's crazy how she said that, like, a lot of us are like discombobulated because we're not breathing.
Yeah.
But again, it's the type of world that we live in, stressful environments that we in.
All right. Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, all right, I got to ask him about this, because I know some of the article too just said that the, like, usually the last time that a person breathes like properly in their life is when they're a baby, apparently. And then as you get older, it changes. And but I never really thought about breathing in like that aspect. I think the only time and this is probably a lot of people, but I feel like the only time I think about breathing properly, right, mm-hmm. is at the gym. Right? Because most of the time, unfortunately, a lot of people don't breathe when they work out. Yeah. And you're like, well, like, and you see people pass out or like they start getting super red, purple as they're lifting, right?
Yeah.
You're like, you gotta breathe, dude.
Yeah.
You gotta breathe. I think that's the only time I ever think about like breathing properly. But like, I think even now in our conversation, I kind of like noticed it a little bit. I noticed you like, you had your mouth closed more, and I feel like you were breathing like properly.
Yeah.
And here I am. I'm like, I got my not my nose. I'm sorry. I have my mouth open. I feel like that's how I was breathing, and I just like I caught it as we were talking. I was like, I'm probably doing this wrong, like or it's not helping. I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a little thing I caught on to, but I don't know. We'll go over that after this. I'm curious about it. I'm not gonna lie.
I've been practicing this for like 3 years now.
Yeah.
When I started doing my research and then just like that.
Yeah. Just trying to do that, I'm like, God, that hurts.
Yeah.
Damn. Which is probably not a good thing. But well, besides the this one quote from her, I guess the biochemistry and the somatic breath work. Like, what's your plan exactly? If you thought about it, yeah. I guess.
Somatic breath work is just something I want to do on the side, not something I want to do full time. It's just a way to like help my community in any way that I can. I think when I was younger, I had no care about the world. I just wanted to live my life, be me. But we need a community. We need a community to thrive together, to be able to move mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And so one way that I want to be able to help my community is offering the space. At least like do this like once a month, twice a month thing, and find ways that I can like bring my community together.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to use this practice to do that. And that's why I'm excited for Jennifer's center, the wellness center. It's like, you know, this new community that I don't really know nothing about. And I'm excited to bring this to other people and how we can just share stories and share more about ourselves to be able to make our community better.
Mm. Okay.
Because our mental health matters. And I think when I first questioned that, it's like, well, how do you take care of your mental health? And
like people, questioning your mental health?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I mean, like, how do I take care of it? And and then people say, well, go buy yourself something nice or go do this, go do that. But you're just distracting yourself. So this is what I like, how like we're working through it.
Mm.
It was just a simple, something free, breath, and how we can now actually like move past it and not just get distracted from it.
Actually, that's a really good point. I never thought of it kind of in that way that when you do say like, oh, how do you take care of your mental health? Most people will answer exactly the way you did. Or like, oh, I go buy myself something nice. But you are right. Like, it's a distraction because then, you know, that like one thing you buy, you're really, I guess, excited and happy about it for what, a month maybe. Yeah. And then at that point you've lost like interest in it, and it doesn't have the same feeling like anymore. Like this is, I don't know if this is like totally off topic, but like I always think about it with my own money. Like I'd rather spend money on like experiences and like traveling, stuff like that. Cause then I feel like the memory is always there and it lasts. And so then I can like think back to it and I still have like the same like happy feelings that I had like when I was in that moment. Right. But if I was to spend like my money, like on like a pair of shoes, right, I'm going to be real excited for like a couple weeks. Right.
Yeah.
But then at that point I'm like, ah, like it's just a pair of shoes now. Yeah. Like, you know, I don't know. That's how I think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when my grandma passed away, I went like stuck. And I started buying a bunch of clothes, like designer brand stuff.
Yeah.
And then I looked back at it and I was like, I did not need it.
You know, all of that.
But I was like, you know what? I was just trying to make myself feel better. I was like, it is what it is. We're not making the same mistake right now.
I get you.
Yeah. So
I feel like some of that type of situation, though, I don't know if there's ever a right answer or the right thing to do. I don't know. It's either, you distract yourself with something like that or I don't know, you become like a recluse and you just sit in your room and cry. Yeah. Like, I don't know if there's ever a right answer.
Yeah.
Because then again, I don't think anyone's ever going to tell you that it's the wrong thing to do. Like, if you were to go out and, I guess, like, get drunk, I don't think anybody's going to be like, nah, that's not the right thing.
Yeah.
They're like, sure, go for it. Because you can't really say much about that.
Yeah. And then, like, that's one thing that I like. Like, I mean, I love school. Like, mm-hmm. I've learned so much. And then when I took a sociology class, it was like, there's no right or wrong. Like, all you got to do is just find ways to move that energy and just keep, and then just keep moving forward. And I think when I, like, got that, like, programmed in my mind, now I have, like, less fear in wanting to, like, try new things or maybe try something differently or make mistakes, because at the end, what is right, what is wrong? We're here to experience. We're here to be humans. And again, I guess I feel like we chose to be here.
You think we chose to be here?
In a way.
Why do you say that? That's a curious answer. So I'm just, I gotta question that now. I'm like, we chose to be here?
It's like, maybe like we didn't really.
Not
like,
born, right? Yeah. Or just like in this moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it's like, you know, we're choosing to be here. We're choosing to make this podcast. We're choosing to like go eat here. Like, I guess maybe we didn't really choose to like be alive.
But yeah.
Like, we're choosing our experiences.
And okay. I can see that. Yeah. You are the, oh man, there's a quote for that. And it blanks my mind right now, but I'm sure I'll think about it later. But yeah, there's, yeah, you're kind of like the, like, I don't think assumption or assumptionation or something like that. Like, your choices kind of like reflect like your life in a way, and what you do affects it. I know there's a better quote, I'm butchering it, but I don't know, I'm a big quote guy. I always try to remember. Well, before I ask like the final questions, I don't know if you had more on your cards that you want to talk about, but I know most of it was for the new breathwork
cards,
place.
I mean, I love these
cards. Or your note cards, my bad.
Note cards.
Well, I don't know if there's anything else we wanted to touch on.
It was just, Jennifer and then, like, my job.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure.
Yeah.
I don't like to leave things unsettled, if possible. It's funny, though. I'm sure after we're done, I guarantee you're going to say, you know what? I should have talked about this.
Yeah.
Every guest I've ever had, they're like, dude, I forgot to talk about this.
Yeah.
I really wanted to, and I forgot.
Yeah.
It happens every single time. Yeah. And even for me, as the host, I think of questions later that I'm like, damn it. Like, why didn't I think about that in the moment?
Yeah.
That was such a good question.
Yeah.
Well, the last question, you can always break it up into two parts. It's up to you. Most people break it up into two parts, I've noticed, but not always. So, like, in your life, you know, going forward, like, what will success, like, mean to you? Like, what does it mean to you, you know? And when I say break it up, and like I said, you don't have to. I just noticed most people have. They usually break it up into personal and, like, career-wise, which is sometimes ironic to me because I think it goes back to what you said earlier about, like, we're all just trying to, like, push forward and, like, get to the top. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if you just put them together, that seems more, that seems sweeter, I guess. But if you break it up into, like, career and personal, I feel like you're, like, going two separate directions, because personal is always going to go in a different direction compared to career. But, yeah.
Okay.
What's your answer, I guess, on that question?
For success?
Yeah.
I think it's having emotional intelligence and being able to communicate effectively.
Hmm.
Like, when I took that communication class, I realized I'm not an effective communicator. Or sometimes I don't convey my feelings like the way I should. Like, even though I talk about it, it's something that I'm still working through myself. And taking that communication class kind of gave me like tools on how to communicate effectively. And that, I think the big one is that complaining is not a bad thing. Complaining can actually be a good thing because you're expressing how something is making you feel. And I think, because, like, again, we grew up in this community where it's like, don't complain because you're being ungrateful. And so that's why sometimes I don't really like to share my thoughts, especially, like, at work sometimes. Like, I'd rather just stay quiet. And if things make me uncomfortable, I won't say anything. But now it's like, okay, I was like, I got the tools now, and now I have to, like, convey my feelings. And it gives me anxiety sometimes, but I also feel happy that I'm, like, confronting it and being able to communicate with things that make me uncomfortable. And I think sometimes, you know, I try to, like, be, like, this strong person, But I don't have to be strong all the time. I have to just communicate my thoughts, communicate like what I feel, and if something again makes me feel uncomfortable, to say it. So I think that is like what my success looks like, is being able to communicate effectively with my peers, my workers, my partner, whenever that comes, and having that emotional intelligence and like intelligence to respond and not react.
That's a key word, react. I like that. That's smart. Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. That was a very thought out approach.
Yeah.
I think in general, communication is, like you said, I think in today's society, I think that's like a big thing we all like suffer with, or it's really hard, I guess. And I think a little bit of it is just because like you're afraid to like communicate because of how maybe the other person's going to react.
Yeah.
You know, or you're scared about it. Yeah. So I like that answer.
Yeah, thanks.
is there anything you would like to leave us with? Yeah, besides that?
No, just thank you so much.
This is like your big moment right
here. Yeah. So. Well, just thank you for, you know, having this podcast and giving me the chance to kind of share a little bit about like breath work and try to bring this to the community. And if people want to take a class or a session, you know, we're in Hemet, or if not, via Zoom. And again, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Giving me the chance to talk. Yeah.
Nah, man, you were always good at talking, bro. This was just different because it was something we never talked about before.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always appreciate learning new stuff. That's my big thing. Yeah. And no, I appreciate you being on the show. I'm glad you hit me up about it. Yeah. Breathwork is definitely never a subject I thought I'd probably talk about.
Yeah.
Definitely not. I've just seen it, but probably never talked about it. All right, well, if that's the last thing you want to say, yeah?
Yeah, gratitude is everything, so. Okay.
All right. You heard it, guys. Gratitude. Try to stay positive in your guys' daily lives. Find something that makes you happy and find something that, I guess, keeps you moving forward, whatever that may be. This was your Adventure Podcast, and I'm your host, as always, Dustin. And then my guest today was Brian Sanchez, and we will see you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to Your Adventure Podcast with Dustin Emery. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this podcast. And we hope that you've been truly inspired and motivated. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hook up with us on Instagram at Your Adventure Podcast. Until next time, this is Your Adventure Podcast, signing off.